Samuel L. Bronkowitz presents Zombie Takeout.
What's up? Welcome to episode 94 of Zombie Takeout.
Zombie Takeout.
The B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get into this week's movie, we don't have any listeners submitted this week, but we do have a couple of news items. First
All
up,
right.
From Cinema Blend, because I follow them on Facebook and they have a lot of news that is relevant to this show. Is John Carpenter saddling up for a gothic western? During a Fangoria panel at the 2011 Fright Night Festival, John Carpenter said he's working on a gothic western. The article then goes on to point out that both Vampires and Ghosts of Mars have elements of westerns, and that Ghosts is essentially a remake of Assault on Precinct 13, another Carpenter film, that was a remake of Rio Bravo. So he's done the western thing before, sort of.
Why can't we just get a movie version of Briscoe County Jr.?
That would be awesome. I think Raimi should direct it, though.
Of course.
But the reason I bring it up, gothic western.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what that means.
I don't know. I'm just imagining cowboys with black makeup
and
jumping over sharks for some reason. I don't know why.
And vampires, of course.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I'm just seeing the vampire thing again, and like you said, it's overdone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We need a break from the vampires.
Yeah.
Unless they're vampire lesbians.
Well, of course. Next story. Well, this one isn't so much a story as something I noticed earlier today. I was looking at the new releases on Amazon VOD. They have a few movies on there that aren't yet in theaters.
Really?
Two in particular that are relevant to us. Red State by Kevin Smith. And Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, which looks really good. It's Alan Tudyk, who we talked about a couple of weeks ago. He's going to be playing Stephen Douglas in Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Right.
And Tyler Labine, who was in Rise. He was the assistant. But, yeah, those two and a few other movies are available now on Amazon. And I think iTunes and Vudu as well. I think it's $10 for a rental.
I think that pretty much means Red State's never going to hit the theaters in an official capacity.
But the other ones I'm assuming, planning the theatrical release. I know with Red State, it was always debatable because of the stunt Smith pulled at Cannes when he wouldn't sell the distribution rights to anybody.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming all of the other movies have theatrical release plans. And there's another one, I think it was called The Caller, that is currently in theaters and is available on there now.
And so, I'm very surprised you haven't brought up the big Kevin Smith news that he is retiring.
I haven't heard about this.
He's got Red State done.
Mm-hmm.
He's working on this other movie about hockey or hockey players.
Right, yeah.
Filming in Pittsburgh, I think, again.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to be it. He's just going to be doing, you know, radio podcasting network sort of thing. That's going to be his thing.
Or he's pulling a Lucas and going into producing, more likely.
Maybe, yeah.
Because nobody has... I can count on less than one hand the number of people who have managed to make any money off podcasting at this point.
But it's different because he takes it on the road and, you know, he charges tickets. I paid to see him.
So it's a live show more than a podcast that he's making the money off of.
Well, I mean, I think now he has his own theater and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that he...
I have a feeling it's either going to be he goes into producing, or it's an Aussie Robert Smith kind of retirement.
Yeah.
Where he goes away for a few years, rests up, and then decides he wants to do it again.
Which I'm hoping that is the case, because I was thinking about this a lot over the last few days, thinking that I don't want there to be no more Kevin Smith movies,
Yeah. But I have a feeling we haven't seen the last of him in some capacity in the movie field.
I mean, his stuff hasn't been, hasn't had the cultural relevance that
Right.
Clerks did, but they've been very enjoyable lately. I mean, since he got out of his big Hollywood, phase.
Last one I saw, most recent one I've seen is Zack and Miri, and I that was definitely a step up from the few previous ones.
Right.
And I'm very curious to see Red State. I'll probably be renting that in the next few days.
Should see Cop Out too.
Okay, you keep talking about that one. I have to get
Yeah.
around to seeing it one of these days.
Yeah.
But back to the pre-theatrical release story. Trailer Clash had a great discussion about this in, well, as we're recording this week's episode, as you're listening last week's episode, episode 17. Also wanted to give them a big shout out because they gave us a big shout out in that episode.
Very
Highly
nice of them.
Highly recommend checking them out. They've rapidly become one of my favorite shows. Okay, on to this week's movie. And it is from 1977, Kentucky Fried Movie. Which brings us to the impromptu plot summary. Sponsored by Big Jim Slade. When no other Deus Ex Machina will do. You there?
That's pretty much hilarity ensues.
So, yeah, this is gonna be a little tricky.
Well, there really isn't a plot. That's
No,
the
no.
thing. I mean, you're talking about, skits, connected together. I'd say you could. The closest thing would be, of course, the Fistful of Yen,
Yeah.
which is the longest, probably the centerpiece.
It's a half hour sketch in the middle of the movie.
Right. So
Literally in the middle.
it's literally the centerpiece of the film.
Yeah.
And I mean,
Takes up a third of the movie.
what's there to really talk about with the plot there? You have, the Bruce Lee lookalike.
Yeah.
You have the kidnapped girl. He goes to rescue her. And yeah, hilarity ensues.
It's a parody of the Bruce Lee movies and a little bit of sort of the typical action movie.
Do you know what the problem with that skit was, though?
Too bloody long.
No, not really. The problem with that skit was that I think it was better than some real kung fu movies.
In a sense, yeah. Okay, so we're past the plot summary.
Yeah, there is no plot in this one, literally, so
Yeah.
I can't,
Fistful of Yen was really my big problem with it. I think because everything before then is cut up into just a few minutes.
Yeah.
And it's good, but it's a half hour of one sketch. I think it would have been better if they did what Amazon Women on the Moon did with the these cheesy science fiction movie and just cut it up throughout. Because it kind of ch it changes the whole pacing of it.
Well, I like the skit. That one was what I had the problem with, really. It's funny because I'd just seen this episode of Siskel and Ebert from the 70s they just
Ah.
reran. And they excluded this movie, oddly enough, because I guess it was done in 79 and they had no idea that this was going to be the basis for humor throughout the entire
Yeah,
1980s.
yeah.
They just couldn't see that coming, that this was actually a landmark movie. But,
Well, I don't know if it was necessarily a landmark movie so much as Zucker, Abrams, and Zucker became landmark
it was
writers.
this bridge between Monty Python, which had
Yeah.
ended 3 years before, and the 80s, of course, which are coming 3 years after. So, I mean, you kind of have SNL a little bit between, Python and this. And I guess SNL's kind of hitting its stride here, too.
Yeah, well, it started, what, a year before? 76?
I think it was 74, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. It was actually kind of becoming, moving beyond, at this point, I think they're about to lose people in like a couple years.
Yeah, you may be right about the whole landmark thing, though, because Bravo put it at 87 on the 100 Funniest Movies, and it's considered, along with GrooveTube, to be one of the original groundbreaking pioneer films of the entire spoof and mockumentary genre.
Think of, I mean, this really, we should have done this one before We've done a lot others.
Well, before Amazon, certainly, because just chronologically.
Before Amazon, before heavy metal. And honestly, and another funny thing, even though they take so much from Python, didn't Python really just put this back as the meaning of life?
Yeah.
Like 5 years later? Mm-hmm. I mean, the meaning of life is kind of the Python version of Kentucky Fried Movie.
True.
Where Kentucky Fried Movie, of course, is the Zucker version of Python.
Yeah. It's just meaning of life has some semblance of a story behind it. Or at least a connective point between all of the sketches.
Wow, the goldfish.
Now, on to the specific sketches, to a point. There's a scene at the very beginning. It's one of the first ones where they're mining oil, or not mining, but, you know, obtaining oil from teenagers' skin.
Yeah.
And did the kids not remind you of something out of a trauma film?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there were a lot of... you know, kind of the beginning, I wasn't enjoying this as much as I thought I was going to. I was kind of annoyed at just some of the cheap, mindless jokes that were kind of tossed in. The oil skit, I think, was the first... It was gross, but it was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And actually, I kind of settled into it finally when Fistful of Yen... Because I kind of liked the one continuous story. And I think it would have made a hell of a regular movie on its own if they could have somehow worked it out.
Yeah. I think it should have been just developed a bit more and either made a separate movie or cut, like I said, cut down or cut up throughout the movie.
I'm thinking I have to look up and see when What's Up Tiger Lily was made.
But the other issue I had with it, because I didn't really have a problem getting into it. I was in it from the beginning just because I love... The opening is one of the funniest things in film history.
Oh,
The popcorn you're eating has been pissed in. That is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in a movie. It is classic.
And think of how many times Letterman has ripped off the not wearing any pants. Hell, think of how many times we'd ripped off the not wearing any pants.
We got it from Letterman. Incidentally, he auditioned for the role of the newscaster.
Oh, he would have been great.
Oh, yeah.
But and how about the people that were in this movie?
Mm-hmm.
How insane was that?
Yeah.
Donald Sutherland is the clumsy waiter.
And I think most of them were in that one sketch, weren't they?
George Lazenby, yeah. Mm. Here's former James Bond.
Oh, also, Rick Baker was in it as the gorilla.
Rick Baker, he's...
Makeup effects artist. Star Wars, American Werewolf.
Okay.
He played the gorilla, and John Landis was the guy who he beat up.
Yeah. Now, there's somebody else there, too.
There were a few big names. I can't
Bill
remember.
Bill Bixby.
Bixby, and, right.
And since when did Robert Downey Jr. start looking like Bill Bixby?
Wow, you're right.
That's all I could think of when I saw it. Like, wow.
But I think the issue I had with it, I can't really call it an issue. Like, I'm almost inclined to say I can't really take points off for it, is that I'm so familiar with Airplane and Amazon Women and, you know, all the Police Squad / Naked Gun movies that this style of humor has become very predictable to me.
Oh, yeah.
But yet this is the first of it, so I can't really criticize it for it.
Right. This doesn't have the rewatchability factor.
No.
I think I was wondering before I started the movie, like, why haven't I not watched this in like the last, you know, 20 years or 15 years? And then I think a few skits in, I was kind of like, okay. You need some distance, and it's a lot better when the jokes, when you can't see them, the ones you can't see coming, are good. Yeah.
But the thing is, and I think it's more of, because this was their first movie, it's more of a lack of development, because I was listening to our review of Amazon the other night.
I wish that I had come back to listen to that, but I didn't have a chance.
Neither of us remarked that it didn't have the rewatchability.
Yeah.
So that one is still fresh. This one doesn't hold up as well, and I think it's probably because it was so early in their career, it didn't quite they hadn't quite developed what their style yet.
Yeah, but that was tough because again, that was like another one I hadn't seen in like 20 years either.
Well, but same situation. Zucker, Abram Zucker, hadn't seen it in a long time. Neither of us had that criticism of it, though. So I think this also suffers from, it's too so early in their careers that they hadn't quite hit their stride. Like, because I mean, Airplane was what, 3 years after this? 4 years?
Yes, 3 years after it.
And I think most people will agree it is easy top five funniest movies of all time.
Definitely.
I mean, Amazon's a pet movie of mine, but Airplane, there's no debate. And it's the same style of humor. Also, no Leslie Nielsen in this one.
Yes, there
Because I
was.
think Leslie Nielsen was in Kentucky?
Yes, he was. You know what? I spotted it before I even had to look it up. It was the feel around skit. He's the male actor in the movie.
Oh,
And then he does like a
wow.
voice. Then he does also like a voiceover too for like one of the commercials. But he's uncredited.
Well, that's a voiceover too for the feel around sketch if he's in the movie.
Yeah,
Because
he
you
just
never see
does.
the screen.
Right. There was the
Okay.
voiceover for the feel around, and then there was a voice. He announced something. I forgot which one though. It might have been. It was either the death skit, which is just wrong. It was more wrong than funny, but it was but you got to give him an effort for just doing
Oh,
that,
and that's the thing.
for
The
going there.
one thing this movie has going for it has balls.
Oh my God, does it have balls? I don't think anybody has been this aggressive with comedy that I could think of. I
Before
mean,
or
holy
since?
cow. I don't
Troma,
know.
maybe. And I think Troma was very influential. I think Lloyd took a lot of influence from this movie.
I think you're right. Definitely before. No one's done anything like this
Oh, yeah.
remotely before.
And this is also coming off the back of a their they had an improvisational theater group before they made the
Right,
movie, Kentucky
right.
Fried Theater. And I think the jokes would have worked better in a live situation.
Yeah, like the one skit for me that really like car crash noise that I just did not like that I didn't even remember in the movie until seeing it. I'm like, wow, I don't what the courtroom skit. That was just terrible.
Too many holes. Why are Wally and the fake beaver there?
Well, no, they were just kind of, being absurd
I
there. That
guess.
wasn't as much of a problem, but the problem was just they were just throwing in, stringing together very bad judicial puns.
They were just left too much to their own devices, which I think is the problem with it being so early in their careers. They were kids in a candy store.
Yeah. But I mean, Fistful of Yen, especially seeing that the one guy was like an actual, martial arts master.
Actually, all of the extras were taken from local dojos.
Oh yeah, they're taking from local dojos, but I think like the bad guy, if I'm reading this right, was like a great martial arts
Oh, okay.
master.
Wow.
Claw.
But the only that's actually the only time I wasn't bored in that sketch was the guy with the nunchucks.
Oh
That
yeah.
was bloody impressive.
But no, the where I was getting at with the Siskel and Ebert show, one of the things they did review from the 70s was just like this terrible kung fu movie, and I can't remember the name of it for the life of me, but it was just a Bruce Lee knockoff. And I mean, things like his hands would glow red. It was something like Hands of Fury or something like that, or
Oh,
Hands of
God.
Anger. It was
Yeah.
terrible.
There were a few of those. Last Dragon had a couple of those cheesy effects, and there were others where they
Oh.
just got mystical with it, which I think is a lot of what Big Trouble was playing with.
Right. But so those things were supposed to be serious movies. And here they were supposed to be doing a spoof. And aside from the Bachelor show, which was just hilarious, I thought.
Or when the alarm goes off and they pan over to a guy with a megaphone. Which,
Man, man,
the thing
man.
is, I know the first time I saw that joke, it killed me. This time I'm thinking, it gets to him, and I'm thinking, yeah, of course.
I completely forgot about
Well,
that.
I didn't remember it, but I just, it didn't surprise me. It was more of, oh yeah, right. Because I know the style of humor. There were even bits that they lifted from this movie to use in Airplane.
Oh,
that's
the
not
Hare
important.
Krishna.
Hare Krishna's "That's Not Important" was taken directly from this into Airplane. This the Nidex sketch where you have someone trying to wake somebody up and beating them. Short step from there to the old woman on the plane with the line of people with the weapons.
Well, that was, I mean, that was a developed idea
Yeah,
because.
that's the point, is there were ideas that started here that got developed and perfected by Airplane.
It's funny to see someone trying to wake up someone knocked out from
Yeah.
NyQuil, which is funny because, I mean, I think they're the first people to really make that joke about NyQuil just knocking you on your ass. That to the hysterical person that getting slapped to snap them out of their shock, turning into a beatdown.
Right. Also, the gerbil bit in the talk show where she brings the gerbil out. Did you expect that to go in a completely different direction?
Yeah, I did. That's just our more jaded time period, though.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another issue with it is I think it is too dated. This movie is very, very 70s.
Yeah, but it went to places
Oh yeah.
no one. I mean, the young Catholic girl, or the, why do I always call it the young Catholic girls? Catholic high school girls in trouble.
I always think of Catholic Schoolgirls Rule, which is a Chili Peppers song. But yeah.
Yeah.
And that was obviously a play on all of the softcore movies of the era.
Right.
The women in prison movies and
Which
the
was
boarding
another
school
thing
movies.
Siskel and Ebert talked about, and I think there's like a movie that we should probably do because it looked
Oh,
hilarious.
there are a number of them. The big one is Lust for Freedom. I'm kind of an authority on the genre.
Think the movie was called Vixen.
Okay.
Yeah, it looked really funny.
But I mean, there's a the Rex Kramer sketch. They use the N-word.
Oh, yeah, and that was.
Nobody, you could not get away with that today.
That's a skit that I remembered, and it was still funny even I remember. There are skits in this
Yeah,
I can
that was
just
funny.
watch again and
Yeah.
again, and they'd still be funny.
That's why I think it worked better in a live situation, because you couldn't do Fistful of Yen. It had to be, because to me the self-contained stuff was funnier. The stuff that was basically sketches that
Yeah,
you know they
that's
lifted directly from the theater.
the one problem with the Fistful of Yen was they really had no idea how the hell to end
No.
and you can see they just went out there.
We did that a few times on TAS, so I can't really blame them, but
Right. They took it in a completely different direction that you wouldn't expect it to go in,
right.
but you could tell they did it because they had no idea how to end it.
I've written myself into a corner. I'm just going to throw in something weird as a capper.
And speaking of the Fistful of Yen, did you remember that that's where Fishbone got it from?
No. Now that you mention it, didn't even think of it during the movie. Had completely forgotten about that.
Soon as he said it, this is not a charade. I was like, oh my God! That's where they
Had
got it
didn't
from!
even think of it till you just said it now. Wow.
They even repeated at the
Fishbone's
end.
even cooler.
They even repeat it. Like just as he does, almost they almost sampled it, I think, at the very end of the song. I know it's them saying, "Party at Ground Zero," we're talking about, of course.
Right.
Towards the end, it's repeated several times, and I think it's the same way that he repeats it several times to someone when he's talking about it not being a charade.
Yeah.
Their misuse of language in that skit is just
Oh,
hilarious.
yeah.
Gratitude and of great magnitude and
And there's also a lot of little subtle things that I like that they throw in. The disclaimer for the horoscope.
oh yeah.
Entire What is it? It's not intended to be taken seriously and is only for people who have no control of their own lives or something.
Right. And that was just so Python. That was like the most Python
Yeah.
thing in the whole movie. And it was just great to see, honestly.
Or the news remote where the guy's, picking his, wedgie and he's picking his nose and.
Yeah.
'Cause I've seen that
Well, of
in
course.
actual newscasts.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, the running gags that they chose to to bring back in were just perfect.
Oh yeah. Big Jim Slade.
Oh, yeah, you had to bring back Big Jim Slade.
That may have been one of the few things I did not see a mile away when he just burst in and opened the prison door.
Da-da-da.
They just should have had it one last time at the end.
Yeah, you've got a great running gag when you want to see it go one more
Yeah.
time. That the only criticism of it was, why didn't you use it even more? Like, why couldn't he have just busted into that courtroom skit
Yeah, that would have been perfect.
and freed the guy or caught him after he breaks away from the bailiff? Something like that would have just been
Yeah.
perfect.
I'm kind of done with my notes.
I think I've got my notes too. Yeah, I thought the guy from A Fistful of Yen, the bad guy, was. I had to look him up because I thought he was the Iron Chef. But no.
So on to sequels and remakes.
On to sequels and remakes.
Well, obviously, Amazon Women on the Moon was a sequel.
Yeah.
To the point, and we brought this up last time when we talked about that.
83 episodes ago or 82 episodes ago.
It's even to the point where it's not even spiritual successor because it is a Samuel L. Brockovich movie.
Yeah.
So it's a direct sequel. Like you said in that episode, they should have done one more. It would have been great to have one every 10 years.
Well, yeah, why not?
Or two more by now.
Yeah.
And when it's done right, I love this kind of movie. I love the vignette movies.
Yeah. I mean, this is a lot. Pretty much what heavy metal was like too, and they had
Yeah.
their long skit in the middle.
True. But I love the vignette movies because the pacing has to be really fast.
Yeah.
And it kind of keeps you interested to a point. Unless you see the jokes coming a mile away.
I think a movie that was close to this would have to be UHF.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking that.
And I mean, and it had a connecting plot.
Well, that had a real story connecting everything.
I mean, yeah, it was your traditional
Move.
Hollywood plot.
Yeah, with just the sketches thrown in.
But it has to be, I mean, I think I even rate it higher than I'm going to rate this, of course.
But I would love to see some kind of, maybe not a sequel, because let's face it, at this point, a sequel's not going to happen.
I don't see why not. What are these guys doing these days
That's
anyway?
true, that's true. Especially now that Leslie Nielsen is no longer with us.
Yeah, that's the problem. Doing this without Leslie Nielsen.
But
That
he wasn't in Amazon, he had a bit part in this, so.
True.
I
There's
could.
always Ed Begley Jr.
I just don't see. Granted, there have been other sequels that have happened, I think, what was the record? 25, 30 years at this point. So it's possible. I think a remake would be interesting.
Oh, I don't
And
know.
not, hear me out, not a
Okay.
direct remake, because it
Okay.
is very 70s.
Yeah.
Update it.
That was one of the interesting things about it, though. Yeah, I mean, you're right, it is dated, but it's really interesting to hear them talking about the same problems, the
Oh,
same
yeah.
exact
True.
problems that we're living through right now.
And that's why I think an update would work beautifully.
I
Instead of
mean,
doing the Bruce Lee thing, just do your standard action. Actually, even like standard 80s action wouldn't work. To have the bald guy who was, transporting some kind of illegal cargo while hopped up on a drug unintentionally. Just, riff on Jason Statham. Because he's the action guy these days.
I was thinking you have the old guy trying to do the young man's action movie,
Okay,
which is what
Expendables.
we've had so many of the last
Yeah.
few years.
True, that's probably more current. And I think most if not all of these sketches can be updated. The courtroom sketch doesn't even need to be if you want to keep it.
Oh, the courtroom skit and you had to go.
Of course, have, you know, The Rock instead of Jim, Big Jim Slade.
Well, Big Jim Slade was just a stunt guy.
Oh, he was? Okay.
Yeah. Or is a stunt guy, I said. I mean, he's still alive and everything. And
actually, what you do, you cast The
he's
Rock.
He's still working, actually. He's in, like...
You cast The Rock, call him Big Jim Slade. Just for the reference.
Dude, he performs stunts on the show House.
Are there stunts on House?
Apparently there was one just this season.
Okay.
That he had to do.
Hmm. But I would love to see an update, a remake. And I have an idea, since, I mean, of course you have Zucker Abrams Zucker write it.
Yeah.
Or act, ooh, better. Because I'm forgetting that half of this duo I'm thinking of is a writer.
Hmm.
Because it's the really only people I could see making a remake of this aside from the Landis and the Zuckers and whatnot. The Coens.
Hmm.
I could so see the Coens doing a movie like this.
A sketch comedy movie, though?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's got to be the Zuckers.
Yeah, well, they have to write it, of course.
Yeah.
Because it's straight up their style, and by now it would be interesting to see how they would improve upon the jokes.
I think, really, it's a sequel that we need.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's the same thing I was saying back for Amazon Women. Just, you know, every 10 years,
mm-hmm.
throw one of these guys out just to show these Not Another Movie people done.
So they owe us two by now.
Yeah.
Okay, on to Brains.
On to Brains.
Now, like I said, it really didn't have the replay value for me, and I got very, very bored in the middle of Fistful. And at other points, I could see most of the jokes a mile away, which isn't the movie's fault. I know their style backwards and forwards.
Right.
So I think I'm going to be a little generous and give it a 3.5.
Yeah, I'm going with the 4.
Okay.
I mean, there were parts that were just... There are parts that you could fast forward to, but when this movie clicked and fired,
mm-hmm.
damn was it great.
And continuing the role reversal of me rating lower than you.
Yeah. But I mean, they're just such iconic skits of this
yeah.
that it makes sitting through that court sketch worth it. Totally. You know, I'd sit through it again to get to, you know, the thrill seeker, you know, danger.
Yeah. And I could just watch that at the beginning over and over again. So what have we learned?
That people have some interesting use for pies.
And I learned that you really shouldn't trust movie theater popcorn.
Well, it was only $1.
Mm.
I'd pay for it if it was only $1. Jesus.
So, until next week, when we will be taking on what I consider to be the worst film of all time.
Oh, is that next week?
Yes, it is.
Oh, goddamn, this is going to be a great episode.
Just to give you a little heads up, I would rather pay to see a double feature of Crossroads and They Call Me Bruce than to watch this one again for free. But I'm
okay.
Gonna have to, because we will be reviewing The Last Airbender. And I'm very curious to get your take on this one.
So you'd sit through a double feature of Waterworld and Heaven's Gate again?
Oh, gladly. I kind of liked Heaven's Gate and Waterworld much, much better than even Crossroads. So. Yeah, this one's gonna be interesting.
I this will be my first time seeing this movie.
And or as well as anything connected to the franchise. If you just want a little heads up on my review, click reviews in the category section on the site on the right hand side. I think it's the second one down. You'll see the review I wrote of it about a year ago when it first came out. I'll try to be a little more brief in the episode. So until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, links to find us on Facebook and Twitter, links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. I also just added a +1 button for those of you who are on Google Plus.
Oh, is that what that +1
yes.
thing means? I've seen that around, wondering.
Also, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. It'll help us get some listeners. We'd greatly appreciate that. You can also suggest a movie. We have our convenient little form, or check out the movie list to see everything we've rated so far.
Yeah, who knew? We're up to 100 soon, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Just a few more weeks and...
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of curious. I am going to make a request for some listener submitted. This is just off the top of my head. I hadn't planned this.
What?
Email us, and I think email is really the only way to do this. Email us if you figured out what we're doing for episode 100.
Interesting.
Because we've hinted here and there, intentionally or unintentionally. And it's just a bunch of question marks on the movie list, so I'm curious to see who's figured it out by now. But anyway, until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
What was that? This is not a charade. We need total concentration. Now, once again, this time, we see you.
Vampires, of course.
Yeah.
Or what was it? Kind of something that I just lost my train of thought. Outtake.
Oh, it's a bit early to be derailed. We didn't have an outtake last week, did we?
Yeah, we kind of did. It was a weak one, though.
Yeah.
Um,
you'll cream your jeans.